In thinking about greatness, Mark Twain once advised a friend, keep away from people who try to belittle your ambitions. Small people always do that. The really great people make you feel that you too can be great. Mark Twain was right. The inner greatness of each person always needs the encouragement of other generous-hearted people to call forth that inner treasure that is buried in each one of us. Shakespeare says some people are born great. Some achieve greatness. Some have greatness thrust upon them. But Shakespeare might have added that some people benefit from other sensitive people who notice their talent and urge it to come forth. Years ago, the president of Temple University was a minister who developed only one talk that he gave all over the United States during his entire lifetime. The name of the talk was Acres of Diamonds. He based his presentation upon the story of a man who looked everywhere, trying to find success, never realizing that all the while there was a diamond mine right there on his own home property. The point of the story, there are acres of diamonds hidden inside every human soul. There's a treasure hidden in the field of every human being, every person. And that preacher devoted his entire life to waking people up to all of those wonderful God-given treasures that each of us already possesses, hidden in our heart. What is that greatness? What are those talents? And how are we to speak today to the acres of diamonds in our hearts? This wonderful inner greatness that each of us has is really a holy, holy trinity of one's own personal self-worth, one's talents, and one's own awareness of the kingdom of God that we carry about within our heart. Today there are millions of Americans who walk around believing that they have no self-worth. For all kinds of reasons, they feel so bad about themselves, and they become so depressed about their own poor self-image. Moreover, there are thousands of Americans today who feel underdeveloped. They do have a sense, they do have talents, but that no one has ever recognized them. And today there are so many American Catholic people who somehow have missed that dramatic truth that the kingdom of God really dwells within them. Because they have missed that mystery, they have a spiritual poverty or desolation that makes all of their other disappointments even more acute. There's only one problem about discovering this wonderful treasure, the values of self-worth and of our talents and the spiritual kingdom. Buried in the field of our human heart. The problem is, they are all out of sight. They cannot be seen. And as a result, for so many people, they are out of mind. So many people believe only what they see and touch. To get these precious treasures out of our heart, there needs to be some digging. Just as we must dig with an oil drill to get the precious black gold out of the earth, we also need tools to unearth the spiritual values. But we need spiritual tools, just as we need a shovel to dig the earth. And that's why it always helps so much to have other people come to the rescue. This is always where loving people who have faith in us come into the picture. They are the ones who help bring forth that hidden greatness that all people have hidden within them. This precious combination of faith and loving care for other people always is able to call forth the pearl of great price, that is our personal God-given gift. It always brings to light this wonderful hidden treasure of this glorious discovery that the kingdom of God is really hidden in a mysterious way in our heart. And God has given to each one of us an awareness of what the reign of that good news is all about. First of all, it is really here already. Each of us has it. And it is also in the process of becoming still more. God has given us a membership in a church committed to bringing it about. And even though the reign of God is difficult to define, we heard three different parables describing it today, it simply implies that there is an eventual fulfillment of the plan of God in history, which is not yet fulfilled, but is on the way. The kingdom is in the process of becoming, and each of us has a part to play in bringing it about. Meanwhile, the elements we have, the good news of the gospel we heard today, the ministry given to each of us to bring it about, and also our membership as a part of this community of people who believe, called a church. And that kind of knowledge and commitment that each of us has in our heart is a very, very great gift. We should seek it, keep it, treasure it. Why? Because it gives to each of us the purpose in our life that everyone is looking for. It gives importance to our existence, and it gives a future to our years. That's what we look for, what every person desires. But there's one thing that must be made clear. This way of the good news will never promise success in worldly terms, in dividends or promotions, or any kind of top of the ladder kind of thing. Some of those things might happen, but to promise them as a result of conversion or baptism or prayer would always end up as a perversion of the gospel. Success of that kind is never borne out in Jesus' life. And it does not fit his promise. There's always going to be a cross. Far from missing promising success, to be a part of God's plan and its fulfillment means that all of us are going to go on struggling with the powers of evil. That's why the third story today was about the dragnet. The dragnet that brought up both the good and the evil. It means that they will coexist, and we have to struggle with each one of them until the end time, until the kingdom does come to fulfillment. But here is the good news. Each of us is given a much greater promise as given to Solomon. Not one of earthly success necessarily, but we are promised peace of mind. Peace of mind now. And eventual happiness. Well, that's where the great statement of St. Paul comes in. We know that our God makes all things work together for the good, for the good of those who love him. Now we ask, would that include such things as having a handicapped child and early death, a painful illness, loss of one's sight or hearing, the loss of one's beloved? If we say yes, it calls for a very great faith, doesn't it? And it also calls for a very great God and for an undreamed of future. But we do suspect that that kind of fulfillment is indeed in God's plan for the future of each one of us. For right now we do know that we have the Spirit of the risen Christ in our heart. And we have heard the living Word to give us strength. And most of us, thank God, have not had to live lives of unrelieved pain. Each of us has enjoyed moments, at least, of hope and goodness and gladness. And those moments of hope and gladness are really hints of what is yet to come. We have a right to suspect that those hints tell us what will happen in the future. But we might, as Solomon was told, we might not be able to live a long life. We might never have riches, but all of us have a greater gift than Solomon was ever given. We have the risen Christ Spirit in our heart, the kingdom. Day in and day out, we are able to understand that God makes all things in our life always work together for good